Our sermon today, so we can go back a slide, sleep. Okay, that's not a command. Please don't sleep. In fact, Uncle Don's response when he first saw the title was, "Jonathan, are you sure you want that title?" And Uncle George thought, well, that's probably reverse psychology, that if we put up sleep, then no one will do it. Let's hope so. But that said, it is true that the Friday before last, when we were in the Aline Fellowship, one of us mentioned how tired they had felt because of the lack of sleep during the week. I was too tired to respond. And so sleep is something that enters into our daily lives. So let me, actually sleep is a very complex concept and has lots of different meanings and within the Bible, and we're going to explore a few of those today. So I'd like to begin in Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. Unless the Lord builds the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Verse 2, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Who created us? That was a rhetorical question. God created us. He knows what we need, and both in terms of our food and in terms of our sleep. Both are our needs by virtue of the way God made us. And notice the way this verse concludes. It says, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Actually, we're all fortunate that God provides very generally to mankind. This kind of general grace is given to all of us, but those who seek him have a special blessing, and it comes in many different ways, but one of them is simply the provision of our needs, including sleep. We'll come back to this verse towards the end, but I think one of the key things that we learn in these two verses is that nothing we do, none of our efforts, will have value unless God is there. Okay? And if God is there, our efforts will have value. It's a very simple bit of logic. Let me talk about sleep from a scientific perspective for just a moment. Sleep is a very complicated thing. Sometimes we think, well, it's just rest. We just turn off for a little while and we rest. But there's a lot going on when we sleep. There's actually five stages of sleep, which we repeat in hour and a half periods. And so in each hour and a half period, it could be a little bit longer, there are sort of five stages. We won't go into too much detail. The first two stages are kind of light transition stages, where it looked, well, how would I know? I'm certainly not an expert on these things, but it's kind of a transition from wake to serious sleep. Then the next two stages are what you might call serious sleep or heavy sleep. If someone wakes you up during these stages, you're going to be very much disoriented in a very strange sort of feeling. And if you miss these stages for a long time, that is a day or two, then you're going to be really messed up, because that's sort of the part of sleep that seems to be most essential. And at the very conclusion of these two stages is what is called rapid eye movement sleep, okay, or REM sleep. And this particular stage of sleep seems to have an important function in forming memories. So in order for something that happens during the day to become a long-term memory, apparently it has to be processed through this particular portion of sleep. And if you miss this portion of sleep, you probably won't remember those things for the long term. So if you're pulling an all-nighter to take an exam, it might not be such a good idea. You may be setting yourself up to forget things. And while we're on this sort of subject, it's very interesting how narrow a range our sleep needs have. We really need 8 hours sleep. Now, that depends a little bit on age. But for most everyone here, you need at least 8 hours sleep, maybe 7.5. This depends a little bit on the length of some of your sleep cycles. And if we exceed that too much, say 10 hours, 11 hours, 12 hours, there's probably something seriously wrong. And, Proverbs 20:13. Do not love sleep, or you will grow poor. Stay awake, and you will have food to spare. Proverbs 20:13. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, it seems like rather simple advice. If you love sleep. But notice that's different from sleeping. Maybe it's different from enjoying sleep. We'll have to think and pray about that one. But sleep, pretty much like any other thing, we have to have sleep. We have to eat. We have to breathe. We have these very basic needs which have to be fulfilled. But we can promote them from needs that need to be fulfilled to idols that we put above, well, sometimes put above God. And so I think that's what this verse is really cautioning us not to do, not to decide that we love sleep so much that we're going to put it above all else. Now that brings us to our responsive reading for today. So remember, Jesus saw the crowd around him, and he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. And then these two people come up to him. First is a teacher of the law, and the teacher says, addresses Jesus as teacher, and says, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus shared with him some of the reality of what that would mean. Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests." Well, what does that mean? Well, in creation, all of the animals that need a place to sleep, they have one. All of us, I believe, have a place to sleep. And if we think about it, it really is very important to us. If we were somehow didn't have a place to sleep, kind of like when Brian's apartment caught on fire, that's an emergency for us. Because we need a place to sleep. And in nature, God has provided for foxes and for birds. But the Son of Man, Jesus referring to himself, has no place to lay his head. He doesn't have a place to sleep. So what's that about? Why doesn't Jesus have a place to sleep? Well, what does that mean? Well, among other things, it meant that Jesus was relying on God to provide. He would go someplace, And he didn't have a hotel reservation. And he would have to rely on God to provide for this basic physical need. But I think what he was saying to this teacher of the law was that, you know, you're going to have to give up this basic security in your life. You can't go home at the end of the day and find your rest. Now, how is this? How is it that Jesus was leading his followers in such a way that they didn't have this basic need, God-created need, fulfilled? You know, you could say Jesus is homeless. It's actually very simple. Jesus is on a mission. He's on a mission with his followers. And it's an important mission for the kingdom. And just as he said that man will not live by bread alone, that when one is on a mission, one doesn't necessarily have all of one's needs set up. One doesn't have the hotel reservation necessarily. But notice, this means that he is trusting God. And this is perhaps back to where we need to be thinking, that in whatever we encounter, we need to have our trust in God, even for these types of needs where if we don't have a place to sleep, we're going to feel kind of worried, particularly if we're in a strange place where we don't really know anybody. We're going to worry, unless perhaps we can really trust God. In our scripture reading, which is just a continuation of this passage, Jesus got into the boat. And there was a furious storm on the lake, and the waves swept over the boat. And Jesus was sleeping. Interesting. So Jesus just caught a nap on the boat. And his disciples were a little bit worried. They were kind of thinking, oh, Jesus is asleep. Maybe we won't get saved because he's not paying attention. How many of you ever watched as a young toddler, perhaps in a public place, is exploring? And they like to kind of wander a little ways from their parents, but they also want to be sure that their parents are paying attention, because their parents represent a kind of protection, an umbrella of protection. And if the toddler thinks the parents aren't paying attention, sometimes the toddler will become angry and actually go to the parents and demand, "You watch me." I think in some ways that's where the disciples were. They believed Jesus could take care of them if he paid attention. And they were a little bit worried that, oh, Jesus wasn't paying attention. I wonder if we ever do that to God. We just somehow believe, God, you're not paying attention here. As silly as that sounds, and it does sound silly to my ear, I know I have done that to God more than a few times. I basically said to him, God, Can't you see I've got a problem? Why aren't you fixing it? So this is exactly what the disciples did. They said to him, Lord, they woke him up and said, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. And Jesus replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? He didn't say anything else. I think because he knew the disciples really couldn't hear anymore at that time, they needed to see. And so he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. And it didn't matter that Jesus was asleep. It didn't matter that in his disciples' eyes, his attention wasn't on their situation at that moment. And the disciples hopefully learned from the situation that they could trust God even though they looked over at Jesus and didn't see him paying attention to them right at that exact moment, the way they felt they needed attention paid. So what do we have? We need to sleep. We are human beings created by God to sleep every 24 hours according to our circadian rhythms, and serves a vital and function in our lives. But just like any other important need in our lives, we do not want to make that an idol and raise it above the one who provides for us. And in the end, we need simply to trust him, a theme which seems to come up often and also an area in which we often fall short. So, have a good sleep this week. But more important, keep your mind and your trust in him. Thank you.